When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Born to love.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Ellie.
This is Scott Eckert, and I'm Ellie Kemper. This is our iconic podcast, Born to Love. Every week, we have a guest on the show come on and talk about something, anything in the world that they love. Scott, it could be pizza. It could be skydiving.
It could be spaghetti.
It could be lasagna.
It could be bungee jumping.
It could be ricotta cheese bake. It could be anything.
Anything in the world at all, like Ellie said. Today we have a good friend of mine, comedian actor Chris Grace.
A good friend of yours.
Good friend of ours.
Thank you.
Old school comedy friend Chris Grace talking to us about rugby, something that I do not know a lot about. Do you know a lot about rugby, Ellie?
I know very little about rugby. I know that it's a vigorous and rigorous game of brawn and strength and requires a lot of cardiovascular health.
Just toughness, I think. Just raw tough. I was about to say one of the manliest games, but then I realized I think that's gendered in a negative way. And in fact, there are many women's rugby teams. My sister was a rugby player. So
your sister? That surprises me.
Not professionally, Ellie. She was not a professional rugby
player. Recreational rug.
Recreational rug. That's
RR.
Right.
Okay. She was an R squared. No, I understand the type. I'm eager to talk to Chris about this so we can learn more about it.
Before we get to him, though, Ellie, was there anything this week that you loved?
Oh, Scott, I had a really great highlight this week. My son, who is 7 years old, has been taking piano lessons for a year, and I don't know how to judge if he's good or not. I mean, he plays. He goes to his lessons. He was able to memorize 3 songs.
Memorize? That seems hard. Even the pros, don't they have paper music or iPads or something?
Yes, Scott, all of the pros are unable to memorize music, but my son, after 1 year, was able to commit to memory. Tricky Traffic, that was the name of his song.
How does Tricky Traffic go?
It's actually a really great song.
It's a great song title, I'll tell you that much. Tricky Traffic?
Yeah.
Even for a renowned music hater such as myself, I think I might be won over by Tricky Traffic.
So he was able to put his talent and hard work on full display at the annual piano recital this year. And Scott, this won't surprise you. I haven't been to a student's piano recital in probably decades. Probably the last one I attended was my own.
You didn't go in your 20s, like just solo?
I mean, I tried to get in. They asked for proof of, you know, relation to the child performer, and I had none. So I was turned away again and again. But this time, I had the birth certificate with me. I had the paper copy of Tricky Traffic, and I was let in the gates. Scott, this was I'm sure any parent or caregiver out there can relate to the feeling of being nervous on behalf of your kid, because I thought, oh, what if he makes a mistake and gets upset or remembers this terrible moment for the rest of his life? This could be scarring. It was the opposite of all of those things. First of all, my son, not nervous in the least. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But second of all, aced his performance. I mean, he made mistakes, but that's part of it. What he did was he went back and corrected them.
The mistakes, they're not mistakes. He's putting some sauce on the hot dog.
Oh, absolutely. That's what a mistake is. It's sauce on a hot dog. And he had plenty of it. So not only was it a love just about watching, you know, my child work hard at something and reap the benefits of his hard work, but it is also about watching all of these students play. The music was beautiful, Scott. It ranged from Tricky Traffic to, I don't know, Beethoven's 15th opus sonata in G. And it was beautiful. And it was so lovely to watch this variety of skill and talent and personality, frankly. Everyone had a different personality up there at that piano. Some were quirky, some were funny, some were very serious.
What was his personality at the keys?
He was pretty businesslike. He sort of...
he got it done. Yeah. No, I respect that.
Yeah.
He lets the music speak for itself. He's not one of the flashy guys.
That's what it is. He's just the vehicle. You know what I mean? So he's like, I'm not gonna get in there and put my own stamp on it. I'm gonna let the music do its thing. And he did. I will say this, by the last performer, I had tears in my eyes, and it was because the music was so beautiful. So it was really just a lovely, lovely experience. It was great to see my son in it. And it was wonderful to see all of the students play. And the music itself was really beautiful. So, Scott, all in all, it was a love of the week. I'm not going to go back and take piano lessons to perform in a recital. The love wasn't that strong, but it really was a highlight.
That sounds delightful, Ellie. I'm never going to have that experience because my kids don't play piano. But I can. I do think that I can share in the pride and joy of seeing your children accomplish something wonderful, even if it's not piano. I have a question for you. Have you kept up since would you say that you were able to play the piano today?
Yeah, I would say that.
Really?
And I would.
So you could play Tricky Traffic. If we gave you the sheet music, you could play it.
I could. But would I? I wouldn't. Because I would not want to one up my son.
Well, of course not. Of course not.
I'd play it better.
Could you just like at a party, because this is something that I've only rarely had occasion to see, but when it's happened, universally blown away, party trick, there happens to be a piano, somebody sits down and just starts playing.
Oh, no, I can't do that.
My best friend from high school, his father was a pianist professionally, and he obviously studied piano from a very young age, and he could just sit down and I don't even know. The verb I want to keep using is strum, but that's what you do with a guitar. He can just really tickle. That's right. He could tickle those, but more than tickle, he could massage the keys. It's fantastic. I like improvise on the keyboard. It's a skill that I have a deep respect for, even though I don't like music.
It is mysterious to me beyond belief. I don't have that skill. I can play three songs that I've remembered from piano lessons 30 years ago, but I couldn't just sit down and say, "How's that sound again?" and then like play by ear. I can't do any of that. I share your awe and admiration of people who can. I have my parents are good friends with a guy like that. It's amazing. Scott, enough about piano and on to...
Our guest, who is himself quite a talented musician. We can ask him if he knows how to tickle those keys. I bet he does. His name is Chris Grace. He is an actor, a writer, a stand-up, and a very close personal friend of mine and Ellie's. He's appeared on Superstore, Broad City, Stumptown, and the brand new After Midnight with Taylor Tomlinson, which is streaming on Paramount Plus. You can check him out. Chris is an acclaimed musical comedy performer and a staple of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, where he premiered his critically acclaimed one-man show, Chris Grace as Scarlett Johansson. really funny guy, here to talk about rugby. I can't wait to welcome him, so stick around.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC+.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, everybody, we are back as promised with the very funny, very talented, very good friend of ours, Chris Grace. Hi, Chris.
Hello. I don't know what was promised, but I hope to deliver.
I can only hope you don't drop your end of the promise, Chris.
Was it promised I would speak in rhyme the whole time or something?
Yes. Yes, that was the promise. And I hope you deliver so you don't disappoint our listeners.
I will say that I was eager for you to join us, Chris, in part because you are one of the most omni-talented or omni-interested people I know. Not to call you out or anything, but like you do go down rabbit holes pretty intensely on just an enormous variety of subjects. So just one that I remember is that when we used to do comedy shows together, we got into ping pong and like the whole community kind of got into ping pong for a hot second. And you ended up watching like days worth of championship ping pong and like got a professional Olympic ping pong coach and purchased a ping pong shooting machine. So yeah, you're just like, you know a lot about a lot of stuff. Isn't that true?
That is true. Thank you for calling me out on it.
By the way, that's news to me, Chris. I didn't know that. That's incredible.
Well, I do tend to get into topics. I go down rabbit holes, as you said. And I also sometimes will sort of like recruit other people into these things. I don't think I was the only one that got us into ping pong, but there was, we had a literally live show ping pong tournament as a show at the theater. Which I believe, did you win or come in second?
I lost the championship, Chris. Please, let's not bring it up.
Stadler.
I choked.
Let's shout out Ryan Stadler,
Ryan Stadler
for winning the
beat
ping pong tournament.
Didn't deserve to. I wilted under the pressure, I think. But some of the other things, what you were, just like every single time I see you, you seem to be, have a sort of new obsession.
I'm so envious.
I've gotten into bowling at one point. I got into a variety of video games that I've gotten into. I will say what's fun about a lot of these pursuits is, for example, something like ping pong. It's not hard to hire a coach that went to the Olympics in ping pong.
Like, what do you
can
mean?
Get the you can get it. You can hire a coach for $50 a lesson. And especially, I was living in New York at the time, and like, it's not that hard to get like a really good bowling coach or right. whatever. And right. I really enjoy like learning about stuff. So a lot of times what would happen is I would get into these things and then sort of find myself like deeper involved than anyone else. I'd just be like, oh, you're not into this as much as.
I am in total envy right now because Chris, I don't want to, I mean, I shouldn't underestimate myself, but my interest wanes so quickly. I'm like, oh yeah, I want to really investigate this and get better at this thing. Whatever. And then by Tuesday, I'm like, wait, what was it? And I just, I don't know. Uh-huh. It's not an attention deficit thing. It's more a lack of work ethic maybe. And so I am envious of you, of your abilities to sustain interest and energy in new pursuits.
So is this podcast like basically modeling the ability to be interested in something
yeah.
for you, Ellie?
Yep. And that, yeah, so I have people come on and I'm like, how do you learn to love something so much?
Right.
And you, yeah, exactly right. And so if you as the guest have exhibited an ability to sustain interest in something, then you get a spot on our show.
You know what you need? You need some quick early wins in whatever yeah. the new thing is.
Yes. Oh, that's great. You mean to sort of like sweeten the pot?
It's tough if you have a new interest and it's like months before you have a good experience in it. You need something pretty early and quick.
That is so
wise. Yeah.
Like if you're, okay, I'm going to get into mysteries now. Well, this is hard. How do you classify a win in mystery novels? But if you read something really, really, I don't know, enjoyable and then you switch to like, you know, more quality mysteries. I don't know why I picked mysteries. It just popped into my head, but you have to have that spring in your step.
If you cold decided to like get into Russian literature, let's say.
Yeah.
I feel like that might be a tough one right. to like.
That's just it.
You need some really good short stories. Some like really short, good Chekhov mm-hmm. short stories or something before you dive into.
Chekhov's The Nose. You could do that one, something like that.
Chris, are you into Russian literature? Is that another of your
hobbies? No, but I do know that The Sneeze. I'm sorry. It's called The Sneeze. Chekhov's The Sneeze. Mm. That is a short story by Chekhov.
Does it involve like any like cool recipes or celebrity gossip?
No.
Because I'm in. Early win.
It involves a guy at the theater. I believe his boss is in front of him and he accidentally sneezes on his boss's head.
I don't mind that.
The repercussions there.
You do have my attention.
Yeah.
The Sneeze. All right.
We've got
when I next see you.
We have to reconvene to discuss Chekhov's The Nose.
It's The Sneeze.
The Sneeze.
Yeah.
Well, The Sneeze, The Nose. Regardless, I've gotten us off on a horrible tangent.
Think it's not horrible at all. Yeah.
You're here to discuss one of your encyclopedic hobbies or interests is rugby. Can you tell us all yes. about it? How did you get into rugby? What is the unique appeal of that sport to you?
Rugby is like my favorite sport to play by far. And it is one of my favorite sports to watch. In terms of watching, it's up there with NBA basketball, probably.
What? I'd say.
Yeah.
I guess I have to understand the rules because basketball is so clear and rugby. Yeah. Chris, can I just say before you enlighten me, when I imagine rugby, all I imagine, and I know this is an audio medium, but I just imagine usually men with their backs turned, holding a football-like ball, and they're just like yep. making their way through a crowd. And that's how I think of rugby.
Yeah.
Is that about
I mean,
right?
That's not incorrect, but yeah. are you imagining them all wearing like leather head strap helmets?
Yeah. And, yes. like... and they're covered in mud. It's always yeah. muddy. Yeah.
That's not incorrect. I will say, just to get you in on the ground floor of rugby, it is the sport that is most similar to long-form improv.
you justify that. What?
So in rugby, what you're talking about is, yes, there's a lot of like chaotic, just sort of physical clashing going on rugby. Yeah. But there are these like frameworks, mental frameworks for like how the game is supposed to proceed in, and we call them phases. So like if you're running the ball and you get tackled and you go to the ground, then in rugby, there's a structure for like how the next movement of the offense starts. And what's weird is it's not like a referee doesn't blow a whistle and you stop. Like in football, we have another first down, second down, third down. In rugby, there's this weird agreement by both teams that like, this is how we're going to get to the next phase, which is called a ruck in rugby. But anyway, like we all agree to do a certain thing and then somebody else can run the ball for a little while, or we can kick it or we can pass it. But like some of it is just agreements between the two teams. And then there's some element of like, how much do I try to breach this gentleman's agreement that we've formed?
I had no
and so
idea.
It's so free form that when you're playing in a rugby pitch, is what the field is called, it is like improv in the sense that you can actually just go do whatever you want in rugby. Like, yes, your team has positions. You have strategies about you should be here, you should be there. But you could go in an uninterrupted, like, 11-minute period of just, like, playing with no interruptions from the referee. And one of the main things in rugby is supporting each other. So there's a very common thing you say when you're carrying the ball. Like, if Ellie's carrying the ball and I'm running beside Ellie to sort of support her, I'll say with you to let you know that I'm behind you. Like that I'm right near you. As you're running, I'll really shout like with you, with you, with you, with you, with you, like that to let you know that I'm there.
You are not even slowly. You are steadily and quickly, I think, switching our minds about, not that I had a preconceived notion, but that's such a beautiful sentiment. It's why we, all three of us are improvisers and we all love improvising largely for that reason, I think. The sort of teamwork. Selflessness.
I have a question. Practically, when you're running next to someone saying, with you, with you, with you, with you, it is in service of what? Like, you're going to just smash into people? the thing that terrifies me about rugby is it does seem like, it seems very violent and, quite frankly, painful.
It is violent.
What? I didn't know that. How so? That you're knocking into people?
It is violent. There's a lot of collisions. There's very, at most, like lightly protective gear to wear.
Why is it like, are you a wimp if you put on too big a helmet?
No, it's just, well, actually it's, I think it's not allowed because like, if you wore like a helmet, a full on helmet, I believe in the NFL, the helmets actually cause a lot of damage to other people.
Right.
So in rugby, you might wear like knee pads sometimes, or what's called a scrum cap, which I would wear that because I was in what's called the pack and I'm making a gesture with my hands where two teams would collide like this in a scrum.
Yep.
And because of that, your heads are scraping against each other. So I would wear a scrum cap to protect my ears because I'm an on-camera talent.
Oh, we can't have those ears scratched.
I can't have cauliflower ears.
No. That's not a good
in one. The Expendables 5. Or whatever.
you're up for that, right? You're up for a role in Expendables 5.
I'm taking over Stallone's role in Expendables 5 through 8.
So wait a minute. I feel that I was not misled on purpose, but because I know so little about rugby and my first like experience of it via Chris was that we're all in this together and we're coming in from the back line and I'm with you. And now my eyes have been opened. And I guess I didn't realize how violent it can be.
Well, that's why, first of all, I'll show you on, you guys can see on camera.
He's showing us his forearm.
I don't know if you can see that. See how there's a line right here?
His forearm has a horrible scar.
I don't see it though, Chris, to be honest with you, but it could just be because it's grainy. The video is grainy.
That's where I broke my arm playing rugby.
Okay.
And that was really the last time that I played full-on contact rugby.
And how long ago was that?
This was 2015.
Oh, so you were an adult when you were playing.
I started it as an adult.
Okay.
So I started playing rugby because I was in New York and I was looking for some kind of like physical activity to do. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to socialize and meet other homosexuals like me.
And so rugby met all of those goals.
I did a couple things. As previously mentioned, I was in a gay bowling league.
Yeah.
where I ended up diving so deep that no one else cared.
Wait, what's diving so deep?
Literally, for the end season tournament in that gay bowling league, I got gifts for the rest of my team that were wooden bowling pins signed by Walter Ray Williams, who at the time was considered the best bowler of all time. Basically, like as if I'd gotten Michael Jordan's signature uh-huh. on a little memorabilia type thing, gave them to my team. No one on my team even knew who he was.
Oh, no, Chris.
And I was like, screw you guys.
Yeah.
So then I went to a wrestling group for a little while. Wrestling's really hard, like cardio-wise. Oh, like I almost threw up.
I can't even. I mean, it's a feat of human strength and endurance.
Yeah. And then I ended up playing with the Gotham Knights, who are a gay and ally rugby team in New York who still exists. And a lot of lifelong friends made in that group. So I played with them. And I basically played from them from like 2008 through when I moved to LA. But we went and won the Bingham Cup, which is there's a huge tournament for gay rugby teams. And that was in Minneapolis. And we won that in 2010 or 12. I can't
remember. My gosh. So you guys were good.
We were good. I mean, it was really exciting. Like, I honestly, it's funny because I'm like, the exact moment when we won that final game is still like one of the peak moments in my entire life.
I believe you. And I am yet again finding envy running through my veins because I didn't even realize, like, after high school and college and everything, you can join a team and experience the joy of hard work and victory and teamwork well into your 30s. And I haven't felt that in years.
You haven't felt a human bond.
That thread that connects the fabric of humanity. Oh, for that thread.
Wait, what about all the improv shows you've done? You didn't feel it through any of those?
Nothing like the physical closeness. No, you're right. Improv is the closest I've come.
You were as robotic as that mailer demon is on my computer.
But there is something. I mean, that's a really, really satisfying feeling, I would think, to celebrate a victory like that.
It was. I mean, we won and I just started bawling like on the pitch. And then I think the next year we lost and I also started crying. Like it was part of just like this physical exhaustion.
Yes.
Plus the exhilaration or defeat or whatever. But anyway, like it was so much fun. And like a side note, there's lots of hot guys in rugby. So that's another thing. Part of it is like bonding with other people.
Yes.
Part of it's bonding with other people that have similar interests as you. Like, no. I mean, don't cut it out. I don't care.
I think we can all agree on this, guys. Yeah. We all love it.
I don't know. I don't know what rating your podcast is. But there's also an undercurrent thing of like a lot of gay people feel a little shut out from sports growing up. Mm-hmm. Because sports, for guys, I think, sports is very like, is such a macho.
Yep.
And at least when I was growing up, can be a homophobic place.
Yep.
So, but there's still a lot of gay people that might actually like to play sports.
Right.
So
right.
A lot of these, when we talk about like these gay sports, that's what it's about.
Yep.
But yeah, also rugby has 15 positions on the field. And because there are so many different requirements of each position, there's literally a position for every body type. And this is for men and women and non-binary, whatever, if you want to play rugby. There's a spot for you on a rugby team, no matter what your size or shape.
Oh, see, that's great. I you know, certain sports I think require, or you might excel at a certain sport if you're naturally, I don't know, gymnastics. Don't you have to be short, for example, something like this. So that's great to know about rugby. My idea of rugby, and tell me if am I off, did it originate in England? Am I making that up?
I think so. I believe that the myth is that they were playing soccer/football and some boys at a like private school picked up the ball and started running with it. I believe that's the legend of how rugby started.
I understand. Oh, you can't catch me. I've got it in my hands.
And for all I know, I think it might have even started at a private school called rugby. There is an interesting culture, because rugby is a very violent sport, but it is kind of associated with like private schools. Like if you watch like the Rugby World Cup, there's a lot of professional class people in the team. So it was like not in like England or Australia or South Africa, but like the Argentinian national team that competes pretty strongly at the World Cup has people on it that's like, oh yeah, full time he's an architect and this guy's a dentist. Like, and they also play rugby at the international level.
Wow.
But I want to answer Scott's question about if Ellie's running and me and Scott are next to you saying with you, what we do. So somebody, eventually Ellie's legs will tire and she will get tackled.
Maybe.
I mean, Ellie is quite a runner. That's the one thing we really, really know about her. So her legs are not going to get tired.
They're not going to get tired for at least a day. But anyway, after that day of running.
So then you are, if it is a legal tackle, you are brought to the ground. And then you have like a couple seconds when you are able to push the ball towards us, your teammates. While that's happening, Scott and I are going to form a ruck over you. That means we're going to like whoever's tackled you, we're going to push that person off of you. And we're going to make basically like a little triangle over you. That's why Scott and I need to be there for support, because we need to be really close to you when you hit the ground. Because if we're really far away from you, the person that tackled you can get up and just take the ball from you.
When you broke your arm, Chris, was it on a legal play or was there some funny business?
No, it was a legal tackle by a very high energy, small man. I was carrying the ball. So imagine I've got the ball in front. I've got my arm. This is the arm that broke. And his head hit me in the arm. But here's the crazy part is that he hit me with such force that, you know, in your arm, you've got two bones. He broke the inside bone. I don't really know how it happened, but the amount of force that was put into the outside bone transferred and the inside bone snapped.
Oh,
oof. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I've had a dislocated rib. That was terrifying.
How do you dislocate a rib?
Oh, this is exciting. So imagine the scrum I described before where two sides are interlocking.
Yeah.
And your heads go like this.
Yeah.
Imagine I'm one of the front ones because I was what's called a prop.
Yeah.
Ugh. Now, there's people behind you pushing. Very large, tall men in the back are pushing you left or right, forward or back. So imagine if you were in the front and the guys in the back pushed so hard that the front person, me, my feet came off the ground. And then my torso was torqued over itself to where, and my feet weren't touching anything, so I couldn't control anything. But basically my upper body was bent in on itself to the point that a rib snapped out of its socket.
Oh my wow. God. And how do you heal that? That's one of those things that you just have to like, make sure you don't bend the wrong way, right?
Yeah, all you do is you wrap it up and they're just like, don't just try to be still for a month or something like that. That was the most terrifying moment I've had in rugby because I couldn't control it. And I like, then the play kept going and I was like on the ground being like, I'm having trouble breathing.
Oh my gosh.
So on the one hand, it is funny to me, Chris, sort of, and this discussion begins with, it's a wholesome way to feel support. Oh, and also you can dislocate your ribs and shatter your forearm.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's also similar to improv.
Wow. Because,
you know, those things
now,
can...
Now, isn't that
I
true?
Mean, I've had my nose broken 4 times on the improv stage.
You know what? I will relate rugby to, like, the reason I love it so much is I'll relate it to my acting career.
Yes.
Because in rugby, I am a prop. Prop is the big guys in the front. Like, as soon as I walk onto a rugby practice, they're like, oh, you're going to be a prop. But my favorite position is actually fly half, which is a position where you wouldn't necessarily put me in the fly half position. There is a lot of running, but there's a lot of fun, creative decision making. So when I was saying, like, the players are often deciding what play to run, often it's the fly half that's, like, deciding this. So, like, once you start to see, like, oh, strategy. The really fun part of rugby is actually like when something happens and you're like, oh, if we do this and then this, like 2 plays from now, we can score on the left side because of whatever. This defender like got out of position and he's not going to be able to recover in time. So as relates to my acting career, something I've realized lately is I think that I actually have the temperament of a leading man mm-hmm. in a character actor's body. Mm-hmm. So like, basically people want me to go into projects and be the like person that's in one scene that's like throws the zingers and whatever.
Right.
But just like James Gandolfini, when he ended up in Sopranos,
right.
was in a lead part for like a decade, right? Yeah, or for yeah. six seasons or whatever. And that's when he really shined.
Yeah.
That's how I see rugby.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Yep. Yeah. Well, so yet again, another great life metaphor.
Perfect.
Yeah.
In rugby. Perfect.
Can I pitch you on how to get into rugby?
Yes.
Yes.
Go to any, it's called a pitch.
Yeah.
It's called a pitch. Go into any international rugby's squad, the roster, and pick a player that you think is hot. I'm going to pick from Australia's team right now, Blake Shoup, who's a loose head prop.
Okay.
Then you find, like, I believe they have rugby games on Peacock right now. You find out what other teams that player plays for, and you just pick one.
Mm-hmm.
And you start following that team, and you start, okay, I would say root for that team. Then later I discovered that, I would say that to, like, Australian people, and that means something else for them. Saying root means something else. But, like, just, that's a perfectly valid way to get into rugby. Go, like, pick a player that you like.
Yep.
Arbitrarily pick a team that you like.
Yep.
And start watching. And in rugby, the like officials and the commentators are actually pretty good about explaining like what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's my pitch.
Listen, I always think when it comes time for big championships and sports showdowns, I think, oh, I wish I were rooting for a team in the American sense, rooting for a team. And you've just given me a way in. So thank you for that, Chris. And if you have a minute, we would love for you to stick around and play a game that we always play with our guests called Love It or Loathe It. Are you able to play it with us?
Yeah.
All right, stick around. We'll be right back.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah! I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
We're We're back, guys. We're here with Chris Grace. We have been talking rugby, and now we're turning our attention to a game called Love It or Loathe It. Now, Chris, this is a game where we are going to lob items at you. Maybe it'll be a food. Maybe it'll be an activity or a book. You have to tell us if you love that thing or you loathe that thing. Please note, there can be no in between. You're either all in or you're all out.
Okay.
Okay. And it's not, Chris, it's not rapid fire. You have time to explain.
Okay.
It's great. Medium fire.
It's medium fire. Yes. Okay, Chris, first item, love it or loathe it, Wordle.
I think I'm going to say loathe it.
Yeah.
Because while it was cute when it started. It was cute. The guy made it. The New York Times bought it. It's yeah. hard to believe that the Times bought it for $1 million. Like,
oh, is that right?
I think that you could code this up in like a day or two. It doesn't, it's crazy. I don't understand why the New York Times bought it.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to say loathe it because I do play a Wordle pretty often. But I just, first of all, I think the keyboard sucks. The little online, the virtual keyboard, I think they've got the enter button on the wrong side or something. There's something weird about that interface. Mm-hmm. But there's something I loathe about the, like, your own internal monologue about, like, well, what am I going to start with today? I'm going to start with plaid today, or, like, it just seems, it makes me feel small, I think.
I understand. Chris, I don't disagree with you. I don't play Wordle. I maybe looked at it once. So I don't speak with any authority. But anything that's popular, I'm skeptical of.
Wow.
What about you, Scott?
That is a bad philosophy to have, Ellie. Anything that's popular yeah. is usually popular for a reason. Now, in the case of Wordle, I was into it briefly, and then it ground me down, and I don't like it.
I was going to say, isn't The Office one of the most popular sitcoms of all time?
Skeptical. I don't buy it.
What's a popular thing you like, Ellie? I bet most of the things running. You like are popular. I mean, I don't know. Running, the running is not popular.
Ice cream.
Ice cream is
like
popular.
I like ice cream.
running is popular.
Yeah, running is extremely
I would
popular.
Say running is probably one of the earliest sports we ever had, ever yeah. since that saber-toothed tiger
That's, chased yeah, exactly. us. We're not going to get into a running debate. I will concede that running is very popular.
No, Scott, yes. please. I don't have any niche interests. I only love things that are mainstream and popular. Let's be clear. But I'm not a fan of Wordle. All right, Chris, that was the right answer.
Chris, love it or loathe it, Scotland.
Oh, love it, 100%.
And you spend a great deal of time there, more than pretty much anyone I know because of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, right?
I've been to 10 Edinburgh Fringes. I love Scotland.
Oh.
If I had to move out of the country, I'd probably move to the UK in some form, and Scotland would be definitely be under consideration for moving to.
What is your favorite part about it?
I mean, for me, it is the Edinburgh Fringe. I've been to the Fringe a bunch. But even beside that, like, it's such a great country. It's got so much history. It's physically beautiful.
Yeah.
My main complaint is that it's a little damp. It's on the damp side.
It's
damp.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I've never been to Scotland myself. How similar to the movie Braveheart is it?
Braveheart is actually a documentary about the Edinburgh Fringe. Yeah, I don't know if you knew that.
It's very accurate, Scott.
Yeah. I mean, they're very theatrical with that face paint.
Yeah. Oh, and they love when you go there and try to do their accent. They just love that.
They think it's cute. All right. Another correct answer, Chris. Okay. Now for our next question, love it or loathe it, the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Ooh. Ellie, are you in the MCU?
Oh, the fact that you called it the MCU. No.
Oh my gosh. I don't want to jeopardize any potential employment, but I loathe it.
Oh!
I mean, I love comic books too. Like, I grew up reading comic books.
So what? Why the disparity? Right word? Why the difference?
Yeah. I mean, because they're boring.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what my favorite movie in the MCU is Avengers Infinity War, which ends in a deliciously dark way that I was like, it should end. That's great. Like, end it like
thing.
That.
Yeah.
Don't fix it.
Right.
Chris, you have one of the most fascinating, to me, relationships with sort of nerddom, because you are super into comic books. You will share comic books that you enjoy. You and I will go and see sort of coded as nerdy movies. Like, we went to see The Last Jedi on opening night, I think.
I think we saw Infinity War together.
I think we probably did. And yet, a lot of these things that you keep sampling, you really don't like. One of the things I seem to remember you saying is that you were, like, growing up in an era where they only made Westerns, and you hate Westerns, but you keep seeing them. So it's something I respect.
Yeah. I guess I keep waiting for, well, I do like the potential of the form, I guess. I just, like, there was a scene in one of those Avengers movies where Hulk was smashing Loki over and over. Like, it's some hilarious scene.
Like
that
a ragdoll, yeah.
And I was just like, so nothing is happening? Like, we're just smashing people into the ground and, like, there's no consequence whatsoever.
Right.
I just found it, you know.
Off-putting. I haven't seen that
unless someone wants to put me in it, and then I think it's great.
You think it's the best there ever was. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I understand both sides of that coin. And also, guess what? Extremely popular, the MCU.
And you're skeptical.
Guess who's skeptical?
Love it or loathe it, Chris, Texas.
Oh my gosh. This is a tough one.
Oh,
I'll say love it.
Tell our listeners now, you're from Texas.
I grew up in Houston, Texas. I still have family in Houston. I will be in Texas this year, multiple times this year and next year. I love the food in Texas. There is a lot about Texas that is, like, culturally, like, embedded in me.
Yes.
A lot of people say, like, oh, you don't really have a Southern or Texas accent, which I don't think I do, but I actually do rhythmically have a lot of Texas accent in my, like, in the prosody of how I speak.
Right.
So I would say that I love Texas, you know, and I love the politics there. I actually don't see why I would say loathe it in any way. I think it's going great.
No, there's no nuance. I mean, it's just a very, like, a profound love that you have for all aspects of Texas.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Just unmitigated, unequivocal love for every aspect of Texas, including all of its elected officials.
Yes,
and
yes.
And Alex Jones.
Why not?
Yeah.
You like, yeah, yeah. All right, then.
Chris, love it or loathe it, Pink, the singer Pink.
Oh. Well, I'll say love it because I have no reason to loathe it. I am cursorily familiar with Pink and liked everything I heard from Pink. So
same.
I'll just say love it.
I have to be honest. I put Pink on there because I'm on a Pink streak. I've always enjoyed Pink when she comes on the radio or on the dance floor, whatever it is. But I, I do Peloton, and there was a Pink ride and it was all Pink. And I thought, where's this woman been? I mean, she's been out there. Where have I been?
Pink is also one of my husband's favorite performers. And also, I've heard that at concerts, she, like, gets in a trapeze and flies over the audience or something.
She does
a lot of crazy, like, she's on wires and still singing. So
that's insane. I've heard about that from the Peloton instructor. But that sounds, I mean, my love is 30 days old. But I would love to see that.
Wait, was the Peloton instructor Pink?
It was a ride led by Pink, and she was on a trapeze. That's the right answer, Chris.
Last one, Chris. Love it or loathe it, Pink, the color.
Oh, I love Pink, the color.
Yeah.
You know what I think? As the three of us, we're all people in our 30s. I will say that...
I'm 43.
He was joking.
I literally thought he thought that. So I wanted, and then I thought, well, okay. And then I did the math. Never mind. Sorry, Chris. Say that again. I wanted to joke.
No, it's fine. We'll keep in the fact that you ruined the bit, Ellie.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I think that I love wearing bold colors. Like, and I actually love pink stuff. And now whenever I buy, like, a random new piece of clothing, I'll often, like, if I'm choosing between two, I'll pick the brighter one. So,
Can I ask, is that how much of your love of pink was influenced by Barbie this year and the pink craze?
Oh,
Or did you already like pink? Because I'm very.
I think I was in. I was in before it was cool. I think
that's great. Not me.
There's a certain amount of gay coding with the color pink as well.
Oh, okay.
And pride colors. So I love all that stuff. I'm very much a Gen X basic gay that anything with rainbow pride colors on, I will buy.
Yep.
And I know in the last couple of years, I've been made to feel bad because it's corporate pride culture or whatever, but I'm still just like I still come from the time when like the idea of wearing like pride colors was still like kind of transgressive and kind of like not the most comfortable thing to do. So like, I love doing that stuff still.
Yeah. You won the game, Chris.
Oh, perfect.
All of the correct answers.
Congratulations. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to come on and talk with us about rugby and to play Love It or Loathe It. We wanted to give you a chance to plug anything that you're working on, any projects, anything at all that you might want to mention.
Speaking of Texas, I will be in Texas for the Austin Sketch Festival, ooh, May 26th, mm-hmm, I believe. And yep, I'll be doing my new Edinburgh Fringe show, which as of this recording has not been written.
Oh,
so
Chris,
that'll be exciting.
Get on that. Wait, how do you have a spot without a show?
That's just the way I am. Yeah, I just wrote, well, it is one of, you know, I don't know if you relate to this, but you book a deadline for yourself to get yourself to do something. And it worked last year. I had a good show at Edinburgh last year and hopefully it'll work this year.
Trust me, it'll work. I'm just impressed that you have a spot there. Whatever, you got it done and you'll get it done again. And maybe Scott and I will go out to see it. I would
Austin,
love to go.
I'd love an excuse. Everybody loves everything about Texas.
Chris, thank you so much for coming and talking with us, both as a performer and as a friend. I'm using that modification wrong. It was great to see you both as a performer and as a friend. Is that the right kind of phrasing? We loved having you.
That sounded so warm the way you said it, Ellie, the way that you were barely stringing the English words together.
It was true, because I thought both as a performer and a friend, I liked seeing you, but that sounded like I was the performer and the friend. You're the performer and the friend.
right.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Born to Love. We'll be back next week with brand new things that we love.
We want to hear from you. Leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and tell us what you love. We might even ask one of our guests in an upcoming Love It or Loathe It.
Born to Love is hosted and created by Ellie Kemper and Scott Eckert.
Our executive producer is Aaron Kaufman. Our producers are Sheena Ozaki and Zoe Dankla.
Born to Love is part of Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network in collaboration with iHeart Podcasts. Special thanks to Han Sani,
Rachel Kaplan and Adriana Cassiano,
Michael Fales,
Alex Coral,
and Bahid Frazier.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax this Sunday with a little moment to yourself and the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.